Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Good afternoon and welcome into White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. We've got you for an hour of White Sox talk. Spring training is just around the corner. Pitchers and catchers report in a matter of days. Sooner rather than later, we're going to have some baseball games. Albeit spring training games, we're going to have some baseball games to break down with you here on the show. Still some news to get to in this afternoon's show. A couple of minor league additions to the White Sox roster, a couple of arms added. We kind of thought there would be a few arms added between Sox Fest and the beginning of spring training, guys reporting and whatnot. And really, a league-wide story that has not calmed down since we talked about it 2 weeks ago here on the show. Still a lot of free agents that have not signed, high-priced, big-ticket free agents that have not signed with any club. We've had a little bit of movement, not a whole lot. So, again, we're talking a bit about a logjam in free agency, and that has been taken up by a few agents and players alike. We'll touch on that a bit as well. We'll get to the additions. We'll get to the rumors around, but we will also hear a couple of real good interviews. We had, you know, the White Sox are great in that they throw a bunch of players and coaches at us throughout Sox Fest, and it's a lot of real good interviews. I have cultivated what I thought were the best and most entertaining interviews, and that's what we're going to do in the show this afternoon. You're going to hear from Ricky Renteria just after the first break. To be quite honest with you, we've had the chance to talk to Ricky a couple of times here on the show and in pregame shows and postgame shows, off-air and on-air. This might have been one of my favorite conversations we've had with Ricky. I don't know if it was Sox Fest that necessarily put people in a different mood, whether it was just the pure excitement for the season to come, whether it was the excitement for a lot of the young kids as a part of this rebuilding process that are now a full year closer and in a lot of circumstances this close to being a... But there was a different sense, I think, about Ricky at Sox Fest here this past weekend. And I thought it brought about a really interesting interview from the White Sox skipper, and we want to bring that back for you in just a couple. You'll hear from Jake Berger, who was just a lot of fun to talk to. He's only been in the White Sox organization for about, 6 months or so. So he's still having a whole lot of fun with his first pro experience, his first Sox Fest. And we had a lot of fun with him on the show. We gave him a lot of tips for a podcast. He seems to be wanting to start one of those with Nicky Delmonico. So we'll bring that back to you, too. And one of the elder statesmen on the club is Carlos Rodon. Weird to say, and Carlos obviously has, you know, some health issues that he's trying to fix over the course of spring training, and we will see when his debut for the White Sox comes in the 2018 season. But he had a few things to say about that rehab, and it's about where his state of mind is with the changes that have gone on in this organization. Carlos, I think, was one of the stars of Sox Fest in that he really stepped out into the limelight, stepped out with a microphone and led some discussions and led really this interview, too, that we'll bring you a little later on. So I did want to revisit that some as well. Sox fans, it's never too early to lock in a 2018 ticket package. Full and partial ticket plans are available, including a lower-level 10-game plan starting at $230. Take advantage of great benefits like discounted pricing and flexible payment plans. For more information, call 312-674-1000 or visit whitesox.com. Just real quickly here, three minor league signings by the White Sox, all of them relievers. Bruce Rondon, Jeimar Gomez, and Xavier Cedeno all added. Cedeno, pardon, all added by the White Sox over the past week. Rondon, you're familiar with, the flamethrower with the Tigers the last couple of years. They had non-tendered him, so he's got a chance here with the White Sox. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of heat, a lot of walks. We've seen that in the AL Central as, you know, watching Tigers games against the White Sox the last couple. A big problem with home runs in 15 innings pitched in the major leagues last year. Bit of a reclamation project, but when you've got that kind of heat, it gives you a little bit of leeway one way or the other. We'll see if some changes can fix there. Jeimar Gomez, the other guy added, he of the Phillies last year, through 22 innings for those Phillies. He looks eerily, at least his picture, looks eerily like Jose Quintana. It's very strange. They're both Venezuelan, but they do really look a lot alike. Just they do. They look a lot alike. So, you know, no, Jose Quintana is not back in camp with the White Sox. It's Jeanmar Gomez, who looks frighteningly like Jose Quintana. Another guy who's got some good heat, a decent fastball, works out of the right-hand side of things, and a bit of a reclamation project as well. A 1.7 whip last season, and as a 29-year-old, going to be 30-year-old here in just a couple of days, and worked a bit with good numbers in AAA. But making the jump to Major League Baseball was not all that great for Gomez last season. Xavier Cedeño was hurt almost all of last year. He only threw in total 9 games for the Rays. Left-hander who can be a pretty good loogie when he's on, but a forearm issue cost him pretty much the entirety of 2017. He was not good in the 7 games he was able to pitch in April, and got bounced around a little bit in 2 games in September, but those are injuries, and you know, we'll see if Cedeño is able to get healthy and get back on top of things come 2018 with the White Sox. So those are the new guys, just a couple added into things. We'll take a quick break here, and on the other side, get to Ricky Renteria's interview from Sox Fest, but spring training is coming quick. You can join the Bulls Sox Youth Academy on President's Day, February 19th, for a fun 3-hour baseball or basketball camp. 2 sports stars, you can make a day of it by having fun developing your skills in both sports. Camps are open to boys and girls ages 5 to 14. Call 630-PLAY-BALL or visit BullsSoxAcademy.com to register today. More White Sox Weekly after this with skipper Ricky Renteria. I'm Connor McKnight. This is WLS AM 890. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, we wanted to bring you some of the best from Sox Fest this past weekend. And I thought we had, as far as this show is concerned, the best interview we've had with Ricky Renteria. We talked about a lot of good stuff for this coming season, and we wanted to bring it back to you here. And I started by asking Ricky about the attitude around Sox Fest this season.
We're extremely excited about the upcoming season, and we're really excited about all the fans that are here with us today and have been here through the week of the opening of the Sox Fest. And I know we're going to come to a conclusion here soon, but we're as excited as everybody is that's here, and we appreciate certainly all of their support and the guys that we have. It's real. I know I keep telling everybody it's real. It'll just be a matter of connecting their talents with the ability to execute and go out there and have some fun and win some ball games.
So we've had a couple of your young men come by the station and come by the show in the last 2 days. We did a 3-hour show yesterday, and I want to make sure I have the guest list right because the names are important. We had Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
We had Nicky Delmonico. We had Carlos Rodon. We had Tim Anderson all stop by. Jason Benetti was here too, but
okay.
We'll talk more about the players. And with those guys, I felt this. There was a real self-assured confidence in a very good way from all those young men. Tim was quiet last season, a quiet guy in general. Carlos is not all that outspoken, but still has a confidence to him. I wonder if you're seeing, probably not for the first time, because you're with these guys every day, but I think we're seeing for the first time these guys come out of their shell and take their right as a ball player in this league.
I think what happens is, you know, as these guys continue to establish themselves as Major League Baseball players and have success, it allows them a little bit more of the confidence that it's kind of they're backing up what they believe in themselves capable of doing. And then you have some results that start telling you that, yeah, maybe I can be here, I can perform here, I can succeed here. And I think every single year is a growing experience, both physically and emotionally. And in the confidence, it's, you know, anything you do, it's all about confidence. And I think when we talk about believing in them, you know, we always ask them to make sure that they believe in themselves. And I think it kind of goes hand in hand. And they're growing to be wonderful Major League Baseball players and people.
Talking with Ricky Renteria here on White Sox Weekly. Here's Sox Fest 2018. I want to show you something that I started to doodle while I was getting ready for the show here.
Okay.
And I know that you've done the same thing this offseason. We talked about it on Wednesday, so you can't even tell me that you haven't. You know what's coming. I've written down a lineup.
I know you have. Yeah.
Just a couple. Yeah. And it's harder than I thought when I scratched out a bunch on the paper already. Yeah. So I'll read it for those listening and those here, but you're looking at it. I know you're shaking your head already. You hate this.
No, I'm looking at it.
Yoan Moncada, Yolmer Sanchez, Jose Abreu, Avi Garcia, Nicky Delmonico. I needed a lefty in the middle of that lineup somewhere there. I like to balance some things out.
There you go.
Tim Anderson, Wellington Castillo, Lurie Garcia, probably a little lower than he ought to be.
Wow.
Switch hitter there, and then Adam Engel in the nine spot holding up everything. You and I talked a couple of times this last season. I asked you, and I don't know if you were happy answering it, but I asked you. You like the switch hitters, two of them at the top of the lineup.
I do.
How come?
I think it gives us flexibility. It doesn't force me to do anything at the top when I know these guys are possibly getting a lot of at-bats during a ball game, especially if they're proficient and balanced on both sides of the plate. It allows them to be able to get turned around and still be effective. I think usually you try to split them up a little bit more, but I think you have to take into account their ability to go ahead and hit on both sides of the plate and keep them in a position that's still going to give you an opportunity to take advantage of their capabilities.
With a lot of these guys, Yoan, Yolmer, Nicky, even Tim to a certain point, Lurie, Engel, if he is the center fielder, obviously, there are... I wonder how you balance where they need to be in a lineup and how the lineup itself needs to be constructed. These guys are going to prove themselves for really the first time in a whole season the coming year.
Well, I think we have a great problem because the depth of the lineup now, as you say, you're scratching your head and you've scratched things out. You go, God, this looks good. This does, wow. I mean, I can use any number of guys in that makeup. And I think we try to go to multiple things. We use matchup sheets. We try to see where we believe they're going to be able to be more effective within that lineup against the people that they're facing. Mm-hmm. At the same time, some guys, when they're starting to run a little hot, you try to make sure you find a way to keep them going and you want to keep them participating. So the beauty of the club that we have is we have a lot of flexibility. I mean, Yolmer can play multiple positions. Lurie can play multiple positions. All of our outfielders actually can probably play multiple positions, but we're trying to sort out and keeping them in a position that will be most advantageous for us, along with now a DH slot that allows me to keep using those bats and move them around and take advantage of all of them.
You mentioned the chance to be flexible in this lineup. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that also extends to the bullpen. I've bugged you before about the idea of maybe not using a closer, being multiple in some ideas late in that game.
Yeah.
You've mentioned trying to talk to guys about blocking out which three outs you're getting and trying to level things out to that point. I wonder, you know, how those conversations go with guys who are new to the system and, you know, guys like Joaquin Soria who have been doing it for a dozen years.
You know, Joaquin's been doing multi-situations, I think, even with Kansas City. I think it depends on the leverage, what they're capable of doing, what the matchup may look like. When we get into spring training, and we started it last year, when the pitchers and catchers reported, we talked about concentrating on getting outs as opposed to innings.
Yeah.
And I think it started to kind of take hold with them. They understood what we were talking about. The most important thing is to make sure that every opportunity they get to record the out, we're going to take advantage of. And if that means giving them the best matchups possible, if the situation calls for us using somebody which may not be necessarily in the ninth and it might be the eighth, possibly the seventh, but maybe the eighth, in which it's the most important moment that might, you know, determine the outcome possibly of the ball game, having full confidence, obviously, in the guys that we have throughout the bullpen, being able to mix and match and allow them to still be able to either hold, close, or set up. So I think it just depends on each individual. We want them to feel comfortable in what they're doing, but we want them to also know that we think in a flexible manner so that they're always available and ready to pitch.
Talking with White Sox manager Ricky Renteria here on White Sox Weekly. We had Lucas Giolito stop by yesterday.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite moments of the 2017 season was a day that Lucas was on the mound. I told him, you know, I want to talk about this, and here's where we're going. And I look at him and I go, so you're in Detroit. You're playing Detroit. And he knew exactly what we were talking about from day one, from minute one. It was bases loaded. You went out there to the mound. You challenged the young man. You told him that that was his game. He mentioned, too, to us, you know, when he was talking, that he woke up that morning committed, determined, obsessed with getting his first win in the big leagues, too. I wonder if that moment sticks out to you as much as it does to others, to Lucas. And as you walked out there to Lucas, what was going through your head knowing that this is a young man that you get to challenge at this point?
I think that you've got to make sure that when you're talking to these guys, they're focused on the moment and what they're supposed to do. I don't know. Sometimes we go out there more to make sure that they have the right mindset and the right plan of attack. I do look in their eyes. I know people think in terms of simply numbers. There's a balance. There's a balancing act with statistics and what an individual is capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to allow them an opportunity. And as Rick Hahn has mentioned many times, we had the flexibility and based on where we were at in terms of the makeup of the club. To allow these guys to experience certain moments that might allow them to gain some experience, whether success or failure, and then go through it with them. So I think at this point, these young men have been showing that they're capable. We have the utmost trust in them, but we also take into account the other 24 men that are fighting for a ball game.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that they know that their efforts don't go for naught. And if we have to make a change, we make that change according to that particular situation.
Are the challenges you can issue in spring training with men who may not be on the 25-man
yeah.
roster, guys who know they're going to AA or AAA at some point, do you have the ability, is it the same in spring training, that you have a chance to offer those challenges to those young men, whether it's throwing them in that lineup against a Clayton Kershaw who's going to start perhaps against the White Sox in that first spring training game?
I think that every opportunity that we get, including spring training, offers them a chance to experience some difficult moments, some pressing moments. I know that for the most part, there's no professional athlete or anybody that competes, including spring training, that doesn't feel that when they go out there they want to do well. And our job is to make sure that they know how they're going about doing what they're going to do at the
right.
particular moment. And so they want to do well in spring, regular season. It doesn't matter. A competitor is a competitor. We just want to make sure they're taking the proper approach.
How have your conversations with Carlos Rodon gone about his getting back to the throwing program? He told us he's going to start that on Monday, which is tomorrow, mm-hmm. I think. It's Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, as spring training comes around, since we began to talk about it, It seems kind of a wait and see. He's just going to have to throw and report back some, it sounds like.
That's pretty much it. I think what the tack we're taking is to allow him the freedom to feel completely comfortable with the recovery process, the building up process to get him back onto the field, because once we get him back on there, we want to make sure we've been at every opportunity to allow him to be able to finish the season. So wherever that might be, I think his body will tell us, his work will tell us. Obviously, he's got to be comfortable emotionally and physically with what he's doing. We are certainly not pressing the issue. We want to make sure that he's completely fine and ready to go. He's been working very hard. He feels very comfortable about the procedure that was in cleaning him up a little bit. He feels very good about everything that's been going on to this point, and he seems and feels very optimistic. And I shared some time with him in the hitter's camp. He's there in Arizona, still going through his process of healing and working. And I explained to him that we're not going to put him in any position to press. We want him to be right, and when he's ready, we'll go.
I wonder if you mentioned the hitter's camp, and I can't let you get away without talking a bit about it. It was a display of talent. Rick Hahn has mentioned he was very pleased with how the message that was delivered was both received and, delivered. I wonder if you could share just a little bit of what the message was at that point. I mean, obviously you guys were working through, technique and, balance and stuff, but it seemed to be a conversation there too.
Yeah, there were conversations every morning before they went out to do their work. Todd Steverson, all the hitting coaches from the minor league system, our hitting coordinators, Getzey, our minor league director, they were all there. Basically going over approaches, plan of attack, terminology, things of that nature, that we are all on the same page in terms of what we're looking for situationally, how to handle certain situations. I think it was more us listening to them speak to give us a sense of who they were, what they thought. It was a lot of questions asked on both sides. And I think that we developed a little bit more insight about our hitters. They're actually a little more advanced than you might think in terms of their thought process. And so it was a really good hitting camp. It ran for 6 days. And I think that we hammered a lot in terms of understanding our guys and getting information across and making sure that we were all on the same page and how we're going to continue to move forward with how we play the game here in Chicago.
So, Ricky, pitchers and catchers report in about 2 weeks, 2 weeks in 2 days, something like that. You are known for being at the ballpark a little earlier than everybody else. I figure you're there in, what, 8 days, probably down there in Glendale getting things ready to roll?
We'll be there in about four.
Okay, yeah. 4 days is what it is. What do you start doing before guys get down there? What's on your checklist to accomplish as a coaching staff, as a manager, before you've got actual players involved?
Well, I'll continue to look at the makeup of the invitees, look at how we're going to incorporate them in games, try to get a little bit more background on them, particularly as individuals. Mm-hmm. You know, put my head together as to how I'm going to try to connect them all to each other.
You can take this lineup sheet with you if you want. Yeah. Take the one I did. Just walk that on down.
And just try to create an environment, hopefully, as we did last year, that's inviting, that's looking to work. Allowing these guys to get as comfortable as possible in their baseball shoes, so to speak, and get ready to prepare for 200.
That's White Sox manager Ricky Renteria. The news is next, and Jake Berger joins us after that. I'm Connor McKnight. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890. So welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and we're bringing you the best from Sox Fest this past weekend. Already let you know about a couple of minor league additions the White Sox have made, and we're going to get to a couple of rumors, I suppose, that have been thrown around by John Heyman of FanRag Sports when we come back from our next break. A couple of things. Well, one big thing that I suppose concerned the White Sox, and a hypothetical we can toss out to you here before we get on the road after White Sox Weekly today. Bruce Rondon, Jeanmar Gomez, and Xavier Cedeño, the three relievers added, two right-handers in Rondon and Gomez. Cedeño, a left-hander who had been hurt most of last season, and all of them kind of fit the category of guys you'd love to see be Anthony Swarzak in the next season. I'm sure the White Sox and the bullpen they've kind of constructed so far allows them to play some. There are a couple of guys who had a taste of some pressure spots last year, but might still benefit from a little bit of time in the minor leagues or perhaps could be part of a roster squeeze. So they get to recreate a bullpen some out of whatever they can bring to spring training or bring out of spring training, I should say. Those three names are going to be added into the mix. Jake Berger could be added into the mix in Double A at some point this season. We'll see where his assignment goes. He certainly had a pretty good run in his first professional assignments last year after being drafted out of Missouri State. He was one of the fun guys to talk to at Sox Fest last weekend, and he was fun because he's interested in the radio business, or at least the podcast business, you know, the one that's advertising all over the place for MeUndies and Blue Apron and stuff like that. You can't stop those advertisements from popping in. So I wanted to start with our shared interest, Jake's and mine, in the broadcasting industry. I figured I'd give him a couple of points on podcasting.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of woke up this morning and I'm like, hey, like, our podcast yesterday was incredible. I mean,
sure.
You know, you felt the chemistry and, you know, I'm like, we could seriously do this. And, you know, I sent out a tweet with a poll, and right now it's sitting at like 84% yes for we should do it. And honestly, I want to find those 16% that said no and just ask why.
So but I haven't voted yet. And I figured I, you know.
You want me to sell you on it? Or?
Yeah. No, I mean, I knew you were coming down here. You and I were going to have a couple of minutes, and I'd like to be moved to vote yes. I didn't want to just, you know, it's a Sox player, a guy who knows.
Yeah.
I want to be moved. Get
right.
me there.
I mean, honestly,
what am I going to hear on this podcast?
This is my thought.
Can't hear in other places.
I mean, obviously, you got the player, you know, talking about themselves,
sure.
and what's going on, you know, personal. So it's not like a third party who's like,
yeah.
giving you this information.
Like some pre and post game host on White Sox
yeah,
radio,
I know, like,
doing,
yeah,
doing
guys...
some show at Sox Fest. I mean, my God, who wants to listen?
Exactly.
To that?
But no, I mean, I was thinking like just once a week. me and Nikki just kind of go through what we're working on, probably share some interesting stories, and then, you know, have players on, you know? I mean, if one day we want to have Fulmer on or Giolito, I mean, like, we can have them on for 5 minutes, and I think Sox fans would really enjoy that.
So the other part of doing podcasts, as you get successful, is you'll have to do reads. You'll have to do sponsorship. You know, you'll have to do that kind of stuff, whether it's MeUndies or, you know, yeah. Blue Apron, something
yeah,
like
Swaggy.
That.
Yeah.
You want to give that a go here? This is a read for the White Sox. Which one is it? Yeah, the one right here. Both of them. It's this one first, and then that's the second half. This is what we call in the business a cold read. I haven't let you look at this at all.
Just
kind of got to go top to bottom here. Go ahead. Take a whip at it.
All right. Join us in Glendale, Arizona for White Sox spring training.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Single game tickets for the 2018 Cactus League season at Camelback Ranch are on sale now and start at just $10.
$10? Jake, can that be true?
It can be true. To purchase these tickets, go online and visit whitesox.com/spring.
Give me that website one more time.
whitesox.com/spring or Camelback RanchBaseball.com. You can also call 1-800-352-0212. But don't do that. Use online.
Go online. Go on. That's actually pretty well done, Jake. I'll tell you what. I'm going to vote yes on the
poll. The voice inflection. Yeah. You know,
very good. Yeah,
very charismatic.
You know, you got through the website real clean.
Yeah.
Those are always tough.
Yeah, you got to enunciate.
You
got to enunciate.
You hit the T's on the dot.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just sounds like you're mumbling
yes,
through the thing.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little baseball, my friend.
All right.
What was your first season making that jump from the college ball into pro ball like? Moving up a level is always tough. Mm-hmm. That move is, I got to imagine, unlike any other you're going to make, except for when you go AAA to the pros eventually.
Yeah, no, I think the daily schedule is probably the biggest jump. I would say that the pitching level and the level of play is probably similar. I would say the depth is more, obviously.
Sure.
But I would say just the daily schedule. I mean, you got to get in a routine where you're playing every single day. You know, I'm living in an apartment with six dudes. You know, and you gotta take that into account on an air mattress. Like, so it's a little different in that sense, and that's probably the biggest adjustment. And you just really got to take care of your body.
You allowed yourself to think over this winter what your assignment's going to be yet? You know, do you let yourself get out there just for a minute before bringing it back to what you've got to do every day?
I mean, I feel like your mind always wanders, but, you know, you got to realize what's best for you and your expectations. And, I mean, the White Sox have their expectations, and they know what they want to see you do this season. So, you know, any way you can help the organization, I feel like that's what I'm going for. So, I mean, yeah, your mind's going to wander, but wherever the organization needs you, I mean, that's ultimately where you're going to end up.
We had Ricky Renteria, the skipper, on here before you came on. You guys shared a man hug mm-hmm. as you went through. Everybody has said, and we talked about this some on the first round panel that we were on Friday, how, I don't know, real he is. You tell me the adjective that you want to use for Ricky Renteria when it comes from big leaguers to all the way down to minor leaguers.
Yeah, I think real is probably the best word for it. I mean, he treats the minor league guys, he treats the Great Falls guys, the AZL guys, just as well as he does the major league guys. And that's what you want to see in a manager. And I think that's what creates a good clubhouse once all those guys get up, you know, that they felt a part of the team before they were even up there. So.
He talks a lot about how, you know, if you get drafted, you're a pro player, regardless of how you got to, you know, this White Sox organization, mm-hmm. you've got a fire in you. You don't want to fail. I wonder, though, if there's, you know, being a first-round pick, knowing that this system, and for those who just got onto the show, the MLB Pipeline 100 came out. The White Sox have seven top 100 prospects. Knowing the system is as jacked as it is, it's your job to make a dent. It's your job to let people know that you're here. Any extra chip there? Any extra drive from that?
I mean, yeah, you're playing with great guys like every day, you know, day in and day out. And so I think that gives you the competitive edge, you know, where it's like, yeah, like we're all pushing each other to be the best we can. And we know that. We know that we have a great farm system and we got great guys already up there. So it's like, I mean, obviously this is, you got to work as hard as you possibly can to achieve your goals. So. Yeah, I mean, playing with those guys is awesome. I mean, you don't get to play with, we have seven out of 100. Yeah, I mean, like, and I'll get to play with a lot of those guys, you know? So, Yeah, it's definitely fun and exciting, and you know, I think we're all just ready for spring training.
What is Sox Fest like for you now? You grew up a White Sox fan. Mm-hmm. Your favorite player was Paul Konerko. You have been part of this organization as a kid,
yeah.
And now you get to sit up here and smile and wear the pinstripes. Have you had a chance to realize where you're at?
I think last night was where I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. You
sure.
know, I got back from dinner and signed some autographs in the lobby and, you know, just had that interaction between the fans. And, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, every kid wants to play for their favorite team growing up.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's no words. I mean, yeah, I'm definitely blessed. And just interacting with the fans is awesome. I mean, you see how Jim Tomey treated the fans and Konerko and, I mean, going Mark Burley. I mean, you
sure.
know, like, it's just all great dudes. And this organization has been known to have a lot of those guys. And the fans are great, too. You know, they embrace everybody. And so it's been just an unbelievable weekend.
What's the next couple of weeks look like for you, Jake, as we you know, get closer and closer to pitchers and catchers, closer and closer to spring training? I know you've got a little bit of downtime before I think you
yeah.
jack things up some.
Yeah, so I'm going to fly to Springfield. And so last year we went to the Super Regional, and we have a ring ceremony on Tuesday at a basketball game.
Very
so,
cool. Very
yeah,
cool.
Well, all the guys are going to go back, a lot of the pro guys, and you know, we'll tell our stories for a couple
tell
more days.
For a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'll be back in AZ and, you know, getting ready to go. You know, I think we start the 19th. Pitchers and catchers report
yeah.
like the 14th. So just I'm excited.
So what are the check marks for your first spring training with a major league organization? I mean, I'm sure that you've got goals for yourself. Mm-hmm. The organization will have some, too. I like to ask, you know, what boxes, what do they look like? And you know,
yeah.
if you can split them up between, you know, the hitting side of things and the defensive side of things, too, for us, because I think people are interested to see, you know, where you fit both sides.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the first and foremost thing is just learn as much as you can.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be in a locker room with a lot of guys that have a lot of MLB experience. So, I mean, asking as many questions as you can and getting as much information as you can to get to that level in the regular season, I mean, is very important. So I think that's the first and foremost. And then, I mean, defensively, I mean, obviously just always working on the range and just, again, learning, you know. I mean, there's probably little things and little ticks that I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys that have this experience know. So learning that and obviously always working on the range. And then at the plate, again, learning, I mean, what's my zone and how to be disciplined in certain situations and when to be aggressive. And I think that, again, that comes with being in the locker room with a lot of guys that have experience.
How has hot yoga helped the range at third base?
It's helped a lot, for real. I mean, I've been miserable through it, but, you know, I'm grinding through it. But
well, you know, you build character when you're miserable, so that's a good
yeah.
You're clearly doing the
exactly.
right thing there. For those who don't know, some faces in the crowd, maybe they didn't hit the seminar.
Yeah.
You and Nikki Delmonico have apparently taken up through Groupon, some
Cyber Monday, incredible deal. Yeah, hot yoga. I mean, first day we go in and we go to the hottest part of the room, not knowing, of
right.
course. And I mean, we're 15 minutes in, and me and Nikki are looking at each other like, "What did we get into?" And like, this is hell. And the people behind us like, not sweating, you
nothing.
Know, just normal. Like
we come here every month
doing the splits. I'm like, yeah, I can't. It's unbelievable.
What
so.
Honestly, what are the exercises you work on? Exercise is probably a stupid word to work on range. How do you get better in the off season?
Yeah.
Getting left, getting right. You know, being that guy that you want to be.
It's a lot of like agility and side to side work with resistant bands. So
plyo stuff.
Yeah, plyo stuff.
Sure.
Different types of jumping and explosiveness. I mean, that's you got to build those quick twitch muscles up. And you know, I think that's what I've kind of strived for this off season is because I already know I'm strong.
Yeah.
You know, I can bench, but can I get to a ball, you know, 3 feet out of my range from last year, you know? And so I think that was the goal this year. And the strength and conditioning coaches have been unbelievable with that. And, you know, every day we're doing some sort of agility and resistant band work to work on that explosiveness.
Jake, appreciate you stopping by. Great talking with you. Best of luck on the podcast.
Thank you.
Just
yeah.
when it gets real big and famous, don't forget to pitch White Sox Weekly.
You yeah, know,
give
no, I, yeah, I give you a
there.
Shout and
help us out.
Get you on. I mean,
appreciate
yeah,
it.
I mean,
yeah, happy to guest for you.
Yeah, right.
You need it.
That's White Sox first round pick Jake Berger. He even got the sponsor read in for us. So all I've got left to tell you is that you can give the perfect gift for the biggest Sox fan in your life during the Fan Experience Sale.
Experiences include on-field access during batting practice. You can change the base and more. All experiences include game tickets and VIP perks. For more information, call 312-674-5396 or email SoxExperience@WhiteSox.com today. I'm Connor McKnight. Quick break. We'll get to Carlos Rodon at Sox Fest and also the latest rumors from John Heyman on FanRag Sports that concern the White Sox. I'm Connor. You got WLS AM 890. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and White Sox games are better with a group. Group events are perfect for clients, employees, celebrating, or fundraising. Bring your group of 10 or more for a great experience with specially priced tickets. It's never too early to start planning 2018. For more information, call 312-674-6330 or visit WhiteSox.com. Over on FanRag Sports, the esteemed John Heyman has a roundup of rumors for each and every major league team. He writes this up just about every week or so during the offseason. The White Sox are, of course, involved. And there's a lot of notes from Sox Fest, you know, mostly that GM Rick Hahn was saying that Jose Abreu and Avi Garcia are likely to stay with the White Sox, at least for now. And, you know, stuff about where Eloy Jimenez and Michael Kopech might begin the season. Stuff that, quite frankly, if you've been listening to the show, you already knew. But one thing that he's got in here for sure that's a genuine, you know, trade rumor, I suppose, is that the White Sox, he says, are in the market for a DH. Though at this time, and I'll read straight from him, quote the Bard, right, no evidence that they have any interest in trading for eminently available Dodgers outfielder Matt Kemp. There was a time many, many years ago, he writes, that the Sox showed some interest in Kemp, but that was many moons ago. And obviously that Matt Kemp was a very different Matt Kemp than we saw last season. Still, though, with the Dodgers picking up Matt Kemp in what was essentially a salary dump, right? They moved Adrian Gonzalez, picked up Matt Kemp. The Braves dropped Gonzalez, and now he's signed a major league minimum deal with the Mets. And Kemp is essentially acquirable, I would imagine, in a similar salary dump situation. The Dodgers are looking to get under that luxury tax. At least this is what they've been saying, under that luxury tax. And the deal for Kemp helped them do it, but even farther under that tax, so they might be able to sign Yu Darvish. We'll see where that goes. Either way, I think it's an interesting point, and one we brought up maybe 2 weeks ago, about the idea of adding a veteran, or perhaps even a free agent, in hopes that taking a flyer essentially on a bat, as opposed to on an arm, in the way that they've done with Bruce Rondon and Jean-Marc Gomez and Xavier Cedeño in this last week, arms that they'll throw in as, you know, minor league invites, or, you know, even arms that you added last season like Derek Holland, or in this season like Miguel Gonzalez, though, you know, those are flyers of a different level. You know, we're talking about perhaps moving things a bit, shaking things up some, and the lineup side where we felt so set with these, with the White Sox plan going into spring training, perhaps moving things around. Still a rumor that I thought we'd bring up here before we get into Carlos Rodon. If you went and saw some of the seminars, you certainly saw Carlos taking charge of a number of them, including one that I was on. I didn't mind him doing that at all. He was darn funny and pretty informative and, frankly, candid, too. So I started out with Carlos talking a bit about the latest in his rehab process. He was starting a throwing program this past Monday. When, Carlos?
Monday, excellent. Start stirring around and throwing, and, you know, it's going to take a little bit. And I know I get the inevitable question for me is, when are you going to be back? And
that is
you
the
know,
inevitable,
I just,
yeah.
You know, I've had it a few times, and not that I'm getting annoyed with it.
No, never.
You know, I really don't know. It all takes time. It's the progression of the throwing program. A lot of it's based on, you know, how I'm feeling and how, when if I'm feeling good, then I will progress and go along further in the rehab process, and eventually that'll lead to me being in Chicago and pitching for, you know, the club again.
So are you able to, at this, you know, the throwing program starts Monday, so perhaps the answer to this is, you know, not quite yet, but when do you get to start setting goals, you know, specific goals about the throwing program, or is that not quite there? Because I know you've got goals for the season.
You know, I really don't know because I'm a first-timer in this
whole
thing.
That's completely fair.
And I hopefully this is the only time I ever do this. I'm not sure. And, you know, you always want to set a realistic goal, you know, when you first start anything. So I don't know when I meet with, you know, the PT, my PT at back in Arizona. Of course, you know, hats off to our medical staff and our training staff for, you know, getting to me where I'm at right now. And, you know, there's still obviously more work to do. As far as goals, I don't have any, and we'll see.
We're talking to Carlos Rodon here on White Sox Weekly all the way till 3 here at Sox Fest. Tim Anderson going to join us at 2:30. I hosted a panel last night. It was all the first-round picks that the White Sox have currently, and Carlos is one of them, and he was there on the panel. One of the things you said has really kind of stuck with me, and I asked Lucas about this when he was here about an hour ago and kind of running through it. A fan asked you about expectations and how outside expectations, whether it's the front office or fans or your parents or whatever, how those affect you and if they affect you at all. Your answer was along the lines of, and I don't want to take too much away from the it was, no one has expectations higher than my own. I wonder if that's something that you've learned along the way, you know, to pick up and set for yourself, or if that's kind of always how you've been.
I look at anyone in this world, and I hope they have, you know, the highest expectations for themselves. You know, if they don't, they're not really truly testing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I'd look at it. And I think all my teammates are that way as a competitor. Anyone who plays, you know, a professional sport or any sport, being, you know, and from the age of freaking 6 years old to who knows, I would hope that they, you know, at 6 years old, it's kind of hard to
set
your own
goal. Right.
Right. But, you know, the confidence in yourself, you set the standards high. No one should set higher expectations than yourself, you know? And it's true. It's true. If you can't, I don't know where I'm going with this.
That's all right. Take it down. We got a lot. We're on until 3. I'm sure.
Okay. So I can just keep,
take some of his time.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Yesterday I kind of like took over that panel and just started rambling. So
you did. You kind of bogarted that one.
Yeah. You know, they're young and they're nervous. I could see it. So I just try to crack a joke and start things off. But so that's why I took over there.
That's White Sox starter Carlos Rodon, and we are out of time here on White Sox Weekly. I'll leave you with this. There's no better way to watch a White Sox game than in premium seating. The Chicago White Sox offer all-inclusive club areas, private suites, and the best locations and accommodations. They've got the perfect option for two people or the whole office. For more information, call 312-674-6330 or visit whitesox.com. I'm Connor McKnight. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this afternoon. We'll be back next Sunday on White Sox Weekly. This is WLS AM 890.
You've been listening to White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890, the proud home for White Sox baseball.